Okay, we're just going to carry on from where we left off in exalting Jesus into his rightful place and hopefully finishing off, we're not finishing off in that sense, we're carrying on from where we go from here. But each and every one of us has to go through the process of graduating from school to sonship. From school to sonship. See, when we accept Christ as our own personal Saviour, we start the process of being schooled in the things of God's righteousness, schooled in the Word of God, schooled in the things of God, schooled in the kingdom of God. And so we spend our life as a new believer being taught there's a scripture reference that says that the Word is the schoolmaster that brings us to God. The Word is the school teacher that actually brings us into the presence of God. All of us have been to school, I would think, at some point during our life. Some of us are still going. But at the same time, in church life, we are being schooled in the Word of God. We're being schooled in the things of God. And why are we being schooled? We're being schooled so that we can rise up and take our rightful position and place in the kingdom of God. And there's no short circuit, there's no shortcuts in God's schooling. There are processes and things that we have to go through. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 8. Write it down. Romans chapter 8. And verse 19. Romans chapter 8. And verse 19. It's good to write the scripture down first and then possibly find it in your Bible after you've written it down, and then it's like, oh, I remember now. You know, you're not thinking of trying to remember. Everybody got it?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wonderful. My version says, for the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God.
Yeah.
What's the King James say? Who's got a King James translation?
For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Waiteth for the manifestation for the sons of God. Right. Waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. We're children of God. We're joint heirs with Christ Jesus. But God is bringing us to a place of sonship. Being in school is to bring us to a place of sonship. If you understand biblical, well, the Hebrew idea of life, you were a son, you were a child, and when you became a certain age, you were then classed as a son, classed as ready to receive your inheritance in that sense. But you had to become to that point of age. You were in the family, but you did not receive your full inheritance. And so we are in the family of God, and we need to come to that place where we grow up to receive the inheritance of sonship. And the problem today is there are so many people in churches that are still children and have not grown up into sonship. Now, growing up into sonship is not necessarily in the sense of the spirit realm about age. Right? It's not about age, how long have you been a Christian, but it's how have you grown? Well, thank you for that. Praise God. How have you grown? How are you growing? You see, there are people who've been Christians for many, many, many years and have not grown. They're still midgets, for want of a better word, in the things of God. They've not grown up into the things of God. They're tiny people in the things of God. And God wants His people to grow up into His Word, and His Word needs to flow through them. Yeah? Yeah, you do. I mean, working at it, how do you work at it? You see, the process is not a process that just, it doesn't just happen. We have to commit ourselves, one, to the Word. We have to commit ourselves, two, to prayer. These are important things that cause you and I to grow up in God, cause us to mature in God. And as we commit ourselves to the Word, and as we commit ourselves to prayer, and sometimes fasting for various reasons, and that's another subject on its own, and as we grow in God, you begin to do things, greater things. You need to, as you grow in God, you begin to see and hear your prayers being answered. That's what God wants for you to do. He wants you to come to that place where your prayers are being answered. And you're growing in the things of God. And that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, it says. God wants you to be able to use this Word to pull down strongholds in your own life, to destroy the works of the devil in your own life. See, so many people think, oh, you know, God's given me His Word and I'm going to go out and I'm going to pull down the strongholds in other people's lives and etc. It all starts at home first. It starts with this vessel here. The Word that I read has to affect me first. Too many people read the Word and think, oh, that fits so and so. I'll go and tell them. I've got a word for you. You know that? Can you get a word for yourself first? It's true, we've had them in the years gone by. They come and, I've got a word for you. And the next time you see them, they'll say to you, have you got a word from me, from God? And you feel like saying, well, I'm not going to say what I feel like saying. We'll leave it at that. So we have to grow in God. We grow up. You see, Eric went to school. And he's still going to school, praise God, I believe, aren't you? Are you? Nodding. Donkeys nod. People have learned to speak. Hallelujah. Are you still going to school? For the tape, on tape, please. We're not using video tonight. Are you still going to school? Thank you. That took a little bit of extracting, didn't it? It was a little bit difficult, bless him. Are you still going to school, young man? Good man. Good man. You see, he's straight to the point. We're all in school.
Yeah.
We're all in school at times in the Word of God. Right? Now, these two young men, they're in school, but they didn't start in this school when they were little, did you? You're in a different school because they've grown in their understanding. They've achieved levels, they've passed exams. They've done the homework, they've done the things that has proved that they've listened to what they've been taught and it's had some effect on them, mentally. And so they've grown. Now the Word of God does not affect us mentally, but it affects us in our spirit. We have to grow in our spirit realm. You see, we are sons to become sons. It is about growing in the dynamics of the Spirit. It is growing in the things of God, in the Spirit of God. Not just growing about the knowledge of the Word, but it is growing in the power of the Word. The power of the Word. You can know the Word and it can have no power. It can have no authority. But we have to grow in the power of the Word. Still in Romans chapter 8 and verse 21. That the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Wow. Creation. The world around us is in slavery to corruption. Have you noticed how things die and decay and fall apart? Humanity is going the same way at the moment. Because it's not following God. But you see, what we find that the Word tells us here, that creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Now you and I have got a freedom. You've got a freedom. In the glory of God. That's where God has brought us to at this time. And the world, the creation, is crying out to come into that freedom. There's a freedom in God. And some of you folk won't yet fully understand that. You will not understand what we're talking about yet, but we'll hope to get it over to you. Verse 22 says, "For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now." Verse 23, "And not only this, but we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of the body." Okay. Now that sounds a bit complicated. Let me try and just simplify it a little bit for you. Okay. So if we move back to verse 21, Paul says that we're children. Okay? Now we said earlier that in Jewish tradition, there's children and then there's a point of becoming an adult, a son, shall we say, a sonship. Okay? That's the reason for this. We'll just use these words for the time being. And so, in verse 23, it says, "Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons." Now hang on. First of all, verse 21 says, we're children of God. But then in 23 he's saying, but we're waiting for the adoption as sons. Are you listening? Are you watching? Are you catching this? You see, you and I have probably read this dozens of times, if not more. We've never caught that point yet. Go on, John. Yeah, that's right. That's right. See, our first fruits is as children. We've got the initial reward as being born as children into a family. But to receive our inheritance, we have to become the sons of the family. To take on the family responsibility. To direct the family. We have to become a fully qualified son. Yeah? Have to become an adult. We have to have that ability to make those decisions. And those decisions are spiritual decisions. So, what we have here now is we've got creation that is groaning. We ourselves, grown with creation, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons. So we're children of the King. But God is bringing us to a place where He's bringing us to a point, He's choosing us into sonship. The sons will rule and reign. The children won't. Children do not rule the house. Just remember that, parents. Children don't rule the house, no matter how big a tantrum they perform. It's like that one on TV, the Vic one in the supermarket.
Oh, yeah.
You like that one,
yeah,
you know?
Do, yeah.
Where the kid starts pulling things off the shelves.
Yeah.
And some mum moves in and attacks, you see, straight away. And the child is like, whoa, you know, normally I do this, and, you know, it's like, attack. You see? Mummy's in control of the situation. See? Children in the kingdom of God are not in control yet. But when He moves you to the place, when you come to that place of sonship, He gives you the responsibility. And He moves you to that next level in Himself. Because it's the sons of God that will rule the house. And God is looking for the next sons. And, He's got many children. But, you know, at the moment, there's probably not many sons. And God wants to move you and every one of us up to another level, into that area of sonship. Doesn't want us in continually being just in a school situation, but He wants to move us forward in Himself. And it's the redemption of our body. Our body being the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not this physical body that is redeeming, because He's not going to use this physical body. He doesn't need this physical body. God is spirit. God does not need a body. And Jesus is also spirit. He's taken on a form. Just remember, it's a form now. It's not a body. And in the same way, God is going to bring us to that point where the redemption of the body of Christ, that He's the head and we are the spiritual body. Now the sons have to come to a place of spirituality. That is when you become a son, is when you get, as you move into that level of spirituality in God. God is calling His sons into spirituality. He's calling you to another level. You see, the sons of God will rule the household. The sons of God will take the responsibility. The sons of God will be used mightily in the things of God. Children will watch on. But they're influenced. Now the idea is that as we become sons of God, we influence the children to become sons of God. A desire to go for it. A desire to press in. You see, to become a son of God is not just a waiting process. Of saying, well, you know, I got saved in such and such a time. Now, if I just wait long enough, I will suddenly be old enough to become a son of God. That's not the process. It is a process of the work of the Word of God and the Spirit of God that goes on in your life and in my life. And if people don't want that, they'll always remain a child. There'll always be that child in them. So God wants to move you and I on. I'm not going to go to that first. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2. I hope I'm going to make this clear. This is not the easiest part, I don't think, of the subject at times tonight. So Hebrews 1 and verse 2. In these last days has spoken to us His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He made the world. In these last days, God has spoken through His Son. his son, not his child. It's an important definition. Whom he appointed heir of all things. Right? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 5 to 8. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. We'll start to read that. For he did not subject to angels the world to come concerning which we are speaking. Now what does that mean? What it means is that God did not give this world to angels. This world is not run by angels, by angelic beings. Okay? You know, just listen and let's just work this through a little bit, you see. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and all that is within it. Right? Where am I? Verse 5, aren't I? Sorry, thank you. Yeah. But one has testified, saying, what is man that thou rememberest me? Him, sorry, should I say. Well, even me. Or the son of man that thou art concerned about him. Thou hast made him a little lower while than lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honour, and hast appointed him over the works of thy hands. And thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. What is man that you are mindful of him? What is man that you remember him? If we turn, just let's turn to Psalm 8 and verse 4. Just keep your hand in Hebrews, or put a marker in there. And it says there, what is man that thou dost take thought of him? Now, what have we got in a... Can somebody give me the King James translation on that one? Chapter 8, verse 4. Okay, and the Son of Man that you visitest him. Right? That word visit does not mean visit as we understand. That word visit means that God has made man, made him, has set him on one side as an overseer. As an overseer, somebody who is responsible, who has authority over the earth. When God created Adam, he made him the overseer. He made him responsible for the earth. He shirked his responsibilities. The psalmist speaks and begins to prophesy of Jesus. And he's being made an overseer. And he's overseeing through his body, you and I. If we turn into Hebrews chapter 2, thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, thou hast crowned him with glory and honour, and hast appointed him over the works of your hands. You see, that's a better translation. That you've appointed him over the works of your hands. What did God do at the beginning? He created all things. He made us. He made the earth and everything that is in it. He made it. Yes, back to Hebrews, sorry, chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. And in verse 8 it says, Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. So what's happening there is that God is placing everything everything, including you and me, under subjection, under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to be part of that body. We have to come into that sonship with him. You see, in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 6, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man that you remember him? Or the son of man that you are concerned about him? You see, what God has done here is actually God has placed man in a special position. We're a privileged people. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation unto God. But we have to begin to function in those responsibilities. If we don't function in them, we might as well be a nobody. Because it's a waste of time. We have to start to function in what God has called us into, as the body of Christ. Now, some of you may have been taught that, well, it's up to the church leadership to do it all, and you just sit in church and fill a pew and bring your offering, and that's okay. That's not okay. I don't want a church full of pew fillers. I don't want a church just full of bums on seats. I want people who come along who are sons of God. Well, we all believe in God. Even the devil believes in God. Ooh, careful with that one. But we come with our anointing and we come to worship and magnify God. And that as we worship and we magnify God, we will see signs, wonders and miracles. Even Eric. Even you. Enzo will see God moving, and God can work through you. You see, we don't look at you, well, I don't anyway, look at you as just children. I look at you with a potential, with an opportunity to grow into a son of God. And that the power of God works through you, through Enzo. That's what it's about. Let's turn to keeping in Hebrews chapter 2. Let's move on to verse 9. And he goes on to say, but we do see him who has been made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Going to taste death for everyone. Eternal death is what he tasted. Not just a physical death, but a death of separation from the Almighty God. A death of separation in the realm of the Spirit, which is the worst separation, it's the worst death you can ever experience. So we won't have to taste that, because we're in relationship with him. Verse 10 says, for it was fitting for him, Jesus, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through suffering. Wow, okay. Gonna have to just watch this one. You see, people talk about suffering. No, we'll just stay away from that a minute. Bringing many sons to glory. See, Jesus, his death was about bringing sons to glory. It wasn't about bringing children into the kingdom of God. It was about bringing the sons to glory. That's our destiny. That we become sons of God and he brings us to glory. That is our destiny. I can hear your brain grinding away. You're like, yeah, It is a little bit like that tonight. It's probably going to be a hard one tonight. You see, we've been so taught over the years about just, well, you know, get saved, stick your hand up, accept Jesus, come and do the, you know, the basic study, and you've cracked it then, haven't you? We're ready. We're in the kingdom. No. You've only just started. Did you? Yeah. Right, yeah. It's an introduction to Jesus. It's an introduction into the things of God. But once you've been introduced, I'll use that for a moment. If I'm introduced to somebody, do I know them once I've been introduced? No, you're right. I don't, do I? I have been introduced. So that means that next time I see them, I can say, oh, hello, we've met before. And I can begin to get to know them from that point onwards, can't I? But you see, at this point in time, there are many people who attend church and have only been introduced to Jesus. And it might have been that they were introduced to him 30 years ago. And guess what? They haven't bumped into him since. My God. You didn't think that were coming, did you? Eh? They were introduced to him 30 years ago. But they haven't met him since. They haven't had a conversation really with him to any degree. It's always been an introduction. And somebody will say to him, oh, have you met Jesus? And they'll say, oh, yes. And it's like, and? And? Well, I've met him. But obviously they don't know him. Because once you've met him and you've been introduced to him and you start to get to know him, he's got some wonderful secrets to tell you. But you see, it's this building this relationship, you see. And there are many people who've just had an introduction. But Jesus wants to take it beyond an introduction into a relationship, a friendship, sonship, joint heirs with Christ Jesus. That's where he takes us to. That's where he's pressing us in. For a little while, lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Now then, we've got to look at this thing of suffering. You know, so many people talk about, you know, you've got to suffer with Christ, and then they then use this suffering of real pains and agonies, and I just think, hang on, there's something not right here. He took the cup of suffering. He took all my sickness and all my diseases. So what are these sufferings that are referred to? This is 10 and 11. He suffered in the flesh, he suffered in the spirit realm, and he suffered in the soulish realm. Now for you and for me, the sufferings are that we go through the school of learning. And we learn of Christ. And we learn, and we press through these areas in the things of God. And it's a lot. Sometimes, I can remember when I used to go to school. I do. Yeah. I suffered school at times. You might laugh, but I'm not joking. I suffered school. There were times when I didn't enjoy school. I suffered school. There are times when I hated school. Come on, I'm not on my own, surely, you know. Ellen avoided it. So do you know what God did? He sent her back to college. She had to go back to school again when she got saved. God has a sense of humour, you see. So be careful. Make sure you go to school. Whatever you do, go to school, guys. Because if you're not careful, God will actually send you back again. And it's harder the second time round, I'll tell you. So, I should stay quiet. But you see, I remember school at times, and I got to admit there are times when I hated it at times. And yeah, there were times when I enjoyed it. There are certain, you know, stages in your life, and there's these challenges you have to go through. And in the same way, in the word, we have to go through this word, and this word works on us. And there's some suffering that we go through when the word starts to work on you and to take things out of you, because the word is perfecting you and bringing you to Christ. And so it's bringing you out of being a child, but it's bringing you into a sonship. That's part of God. That's part of the suffering that goes on. That process of getting you from being a child and childish to being a son and moving in the power and the majesty of God. Verse 11 says, "For both he who sanctifies Jesus and those who are sanctified are all from one Father." So what you've got to remember is Jesus is sanctified. Are you sanctified? He says, what does that word mean? I don't know. Yeah, make holy. Makes righteous. God is that work in you, being sanctified, made holy, being made in his image, being conformed to his image, being changed into his image. That's a process that goes on. And I'll tell you this, it's not an easy process. If you want to follow God, if you want to come out from being a child and come into sonship, the process is not easy. Study the word. Study to show yourself approved. Seek the things of the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. That's sonship. You see, God adds to his sons. But the fact is, you have to seek first his kingdom. You're in family, but you need to seek his kingdom. You're a child, but the child needs to seek the kingdom. And we need to seek the kingdom of God. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 3. I bet you've been here a long time, you guys, tonight, so I'll try not to be too long for you. "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus." Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession." He's calling you holy brethren. He's saying that you are a partaker. You can receive. You're invited to the table. You're invited, and when you're invited to the table, that means you can sit down and you can eat. You can partake. You can receive.
What verse?
1:3:1. "Partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession." You see, as I was saying earlier, we have to speak with our mouths. That's when we confess. That's our confession. Not when we nod, Not when we shake our head, but when we speak out loud, that's our confession. The word says, if you confess Jesus as Lord before men, I will confess you before my Heavenly Father. We have to confess. We confess the Word of God. How do we confess the Word of God? Now, I've encouraged you all in the past. When you read your Bible out aloud. Because you are confessing the Word of God. You're declaring before principalities and powers what you believe in. And you might say, well, I don't really believe it yet. That's okay. It's a process that's going on. Because the children don't always believe what they're told. Don't always believe what they're told. So, we have to realize that as we repeat and repeat the Word of God, it sinks into us until we start to believe it ourselves. Let's look at verse 7 of the same chapter. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the days of trial in the wilderness. God's saying, don't harden your hearts to my Holy Spirit. Like the children of Israel did in the wilderness, when we spoke to them then. God's saying, come on, it's time to be different. It's time to get ready and to move on. And people in church can often harden their hearts to the Word of God. And God is saying, come on, listen, move on. Time is short. We need to move on in the things of God. We need to move on in the Word of God. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. Have you forgotten the exhortation which I addressed to you as sons? Take note. Addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. Okay? For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And he scourges every son whom he receives. Sometimes God has to work on us. Sometimes there is some discipline. Sometimes there's some reproving, correction. Strong words used to correct us and to guide us. Sometimes there's discipline, which takes a different shape and form at times. And you know, if we're not people who like discipline, if we kick against it, it's not good, is it? We don't enjoy it. It's okay when somebody brings a nice cream cake and says, here you go, let's have a party together, and everybody's happy. But then if somebody comes along and says, oh, excuse me, I need to talk to you. We need some discipline. We need some things to sort out in your life. Oh, no, bring the cream cake. Oh, let's have the cream cake. Let's party, as somebody just said. But no, sometimes the Word of God brings to correct. It's that school teacher that brings us into being sons of God. Brings us to that place where God wants to do a work in us. To change us, to move us on into a new realm in Him. To a new authority and a new dimension in Him. Let's go into Ephesians. Spiritual increase related to the throne and the glory of the Lord. If we move into spiritual increase. Yeah, I'm going to get there. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 18. We just want to just share a little bit about spiritual increase related to the throne and the glory of the Lord. Verse 18 of 1. Yeah. Ephesians 1 verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You're a saint, that's right. You're a saint. Remind yourself, I'm a saint. Now then, I'm just going to throw a curved ball in here somewhere for you. Let's look at that verse of scripture again. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? There you go. Now you've caught it for the first time. I'm going to say it again. The inheritor is not you and I. The inheritor is God. Let's look at that verse of scripture again. You need to underline it. You need to underline the emphasis, you see. Because we miss it when we read it, because it appears to be at times a little bit complicated. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. This is what God wants to do. This is what, as we move into sonship, our eyes are opened. Our spiritual eyes are opened. Because we've read this many times. But God wants to open our spiritual eyes, and sons is when their eyes are being opened. That the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, so often we talk about our inheritance in Christ Jesus, but guess what? The inheritance that God is after is the inheritance of the saints that belong to him. His inheritance. You are God's inheritance. Wow. And you all thought, well, he already owned me anyway. But he owned you in a different way. Because you gave yourself when he called you. You were born again of the Spirit. And you are the inheritance of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ unto God. Wow. Now you can start and realize that God looks at you, and he looks at you like you're something expensive. Well, that, yeah. Well, you have to realize that God looks at you, and he's not looking at some cheap tack that you get out of a Christmas cracker. He's looking at you and he's saying, this is my inheritance. This is pure gold. These are pearls of greatest price. We are redeemed. But the fact is, we don't realize the value. We do not place a value on our lives that is given to God. You see, God has placed such a value on us. We're his inheritance. You see, we've always said that we're joint heirs with Christ Jesus. You know, we're receiving his inheritance. Yeah, we are. But God also looks and says, well, what an inheritance I have got. The devil thought he'd steal it from God. But God has taken the prize. You and I. Into his kingdom. Time's running away. Right, so from infancy to the school of sonship is where he wants us. It can be a painful thing, and there are many difficulties, but it is about developing our relationship with Jesus, with our Heavenly Father. This is what sonship's about. And this is what has been in God's mind from the very moment. God wants many sons. It's not children he wants, it's sons. And there's a difference. It's sons, mature people, mature ones. Because when we move into that maturity and we go past the day of ruling, when Jesus rules and reigns with a rod of iron, when we get past those 2,000 years, what's next? It's when the sons of God take their place. Hallelujah. And he'll not be ruling by the rod, because everything will be put underneath his feet. Everything will be destroyed. Everything will be sorted. And we shall live in God's eternal creation of what he intended right at the beginning. And we shall be the sons of God. And we shall walk in the presence of God. And God will have his whole family back together. And there are I cannot imagine what goes on from there, when there is nothing that stands in the way, when there is no evil that is ever present. You see, the devil has been cast into the heavenlies. Well, God's in the third heaven. Alright? They call him the God of this earth, but he's not the God of this earth. He seeks to rule and reign. That's just man's wickedness that allows him to be ruling and reigning. He says that he's the prince of the power of the earth. He's in the second heaven. That's where the war went on with Daniel. To get through. To bring the answer to Daniel. You see? Yeah. But you see, for... So when all that has been dealt with, hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful what's going to happen? Absolutely wonderful what's going to happen. If you look at Ephesians 1 and verse 12, let's read 11. Also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, God's purpose, who works all things after the counsel of God's will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. You are the firstborn sons. You're thinking, well, hang on. 2,000 years ago they were accepting Jesus. Yeah, but we're the firstborn. We're the firstborn. You see, we are the bride of Christ. That's why you got the firstborn. We're the bride of Christ. And when the bride and the bridegroom marry, they will have many more sons. God's going to do some great and mighty things. He's just beginning. He's just getting going. Yeah, there's eternity yet not touched, you see. Hold on. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. What's all this going on for? It is going on for the equipping of the saints for their work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we attain to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure and of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. This is where God wants us to be. He wants us to come to a place where we are equipped. And to be equipped, you need to be a son. He wants us to be building up in the body of Christ. And he wants us, as we're doing that, we come to the unity of faith. Who are we going to come in unity with? Not just with each other. With God. You see, you can agree with me, and that might mean that you and me's wrong. Because we might not be agreeing with God. And there are people who do that. They'll say, come on, let's agree together. And just because you agree together, does that mean you're agreeing with God? Not necessarily.
You might not have
listened. Exactly. You might not have listened. People sometimes agree together to do their own thing. So we need to listen to God. And as we listen to God, we come to the unity of the faith in God, in Christ Jesus. And we begin to press through. And you see, God wants to bring us to being a mature man. Not a teenager, but a mature man. Not a child, but a mature man. That's where God is moving us to. God has planned all this out. God has prepared all this for you and for me. And so this work is going on in you and I until we come to the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that suddenly, that as we come together, the Christ in us begins to be formed, and the Christ is seen, and the Christ in us affects the world. It has to affect people around us. Not the church, the Christ. It's not about what church do you go to, it's about do you worship Christ. Is Christ the centre of your life? Not Christ Church. Christ himself. Yeah, Jesus. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations for ever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There's a lot of overcoming to be done. There's a lot of overcoming to be done. You and I have to get on top of a great deal of things in our lives. We have to conquer these things. And getting on top of many things is actually leading us to getting on top of the devil and his kingdom. You see, the devil seeks to have a kingdom. But God has a kingdom. And the kingdom of God will destroy the kingdom of the devil. See, he's exalted himself to a place. The battle. There's a battle that goes on, and we suffer in the battle. This battle has gone on ever since Satan rebelled. When God threw him down into that middle heaven, the saints will take the kingdom. That is the kingdom of God. And he shall come whose right it is to reign. Jesus. He shall come whose right it is to reign. His right to reign. He shall have dominion. And the dominion that he has, it shall be given to the saints of the Most High. Praise God. He's going to have dominion, but he's going to give dominion to his saints, to his sons, to the sons of God. What do we need to do then? We need to exalt Jesus. We need to exalt the Lord Jesus, would be a better emphasis. We need to learn to minister unto the Lord. We need to learn to minister unto the Lord. And when we're able to do that, then we ought to be able to start ministering into the lives of others. If we decide that we're going to Africa, why are we going? We're going in to minister into the lives of others. So when you go, before you go, you have to be equipped. You have to be prepared. You have to be spiritually awakened to God. We are to be the local representation of Christ. You have to be Christ, the representation of Christ. So that when people see you, they see Jesus in you. Like you did that time. We need to have a testimony to throw down Satan. Our testimony will throw down any satanic attack. Jesus is mine. I am his. He's saved me. He's given me life. He's given me eternal life. He's forgiven me all my sins. And it throws down an attack of the enemy. Throws down his kingdom. At the same time, we need to have a militant faith. The church needs to be militant in its faith. Not just sitting back and, I've got faith. You know, it's alright, I've got faith. No, we'll use it. Yeah, that's right. The word says faith without works is dead. So faith has to be militant. Faith has to move forward, has to have some action about it. Push the enemy back. We push the word of God forward. We push the presence of Jesus forward. And we need to have a present testimony to the coming day of glory. In Ezekiel 47, we've talked about that. If you read that, and you read, well, finishing in Ezekiel 47, when you read in the first two or three verses, the man brings Ezekiel back to the east gate. The east, where does the sun rise? It rises in the east. That's the beginning of a new day. Scripture says that Jesus, the Messiah, is coming from the east. He's coming on a new day. That's what the meaning is. He's coming with a new day. It's a new day he's bringing in. It's a new day he's ushering in. It's a new era he's ushering in. Everybody's looking for a sunrise job at times. It's a new era he's ushering in. And when we see him bringing in that new era, we'll see the glory fully manifest. And that's where Ezekiel finishes, with the manifestation of the sons of God in a new day, in a new time, for the things of God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.